Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program is being recorded for August 8th, 2020. We're going to be looking at how do you deal with being out of control. We do have control problems, do we not, in America? We have control problems with so many things because of our nationalism and the way we live our life. So we're going to take a brief look at this. Not that it's going to do a great deal of good in the lives of those who are out of control, but nonetheless, questions keep coming in with this pandemic over and over and over again about what to do with the people who aren't cooperating, shall we say, the corona problems, the virus parties they're having, all sorts of things that are going on that we know nothing about that basically young people are doing out of the whole idea that the earth is screwed up as it is. It's fundamentally been destroyed via, you know, the generation of the boomers, which I can't argue. It is true. We did not take good care of this earth due to the fact of business, money. You got to understand, people made it more important to be rich than to be kind in this world, in our country. So we have a great deal of difficulty with the whole idea of monitoring our behavior, because if it comes down to money or the behavior that would benefit the majority of us, we'll go typically with the money. And I'll tell you why and go through all of this with a program. So I hope that this might answer some questions. It might not. It might start more questions. Whatever. Whatever is going to be is going to be. So let's get into the first question by Raymond. And he lives in, he has it here, he lives, Miami, Florida. How do we get people to do the right thing so we can get back to normal, Raymond? Raymond, there is this pedestrian mentality ideal that we're going to get back to normal. And there's going to be a new norm. There's going to be big changes in that norm, and this whole pandemic is opening up a great deal of opportunity for us to evolve, to change, to manifest a different kind of life experience. So if you're of the heart and you have a sense of what it means to change, maybe for the better. Maybe this will be the litmus test. I don't know how old you are, but maybe this will be the litmus test, as was for my generation and the boomers, to change some things for the good. And if the young people are complaining about the way the boomers handled the earth and politics and money and everything, they have a chance now to correct it. And should they not correct it, then they're no better than the boomers were in how they dealt with things. So human nature is human nature. How do you get people to do, you say, the right thing? The right thing is a very difficult subject for most of us because we think the right thing is anything that benefits us. Now, why do we do this? You got to get into the book Behave by Robert Sapolsky. You really do. If you're going to understand this, this is our animalistic behaviors, our DNA, our deep primitive instinct to want to survive. And this instinct to survive is about not only survival at all costs, survival of the fittest, but also reproduction. So we're making... Although I have read that the world's population of the births is going down, which is interesting to me, but I've only read it in one place. I haven't read it in consecutive places, so I don't know if that's true. But if that is true, then we're starting to understand a little bit more about our human nature. Raymond, we have to understand our human nature and embrace it and understand that it is out of control. It is an animal. It is strictly an animal. And it runs off of instinct. And the instinct of most animals is, you know, to roam the prairie, doing whatever it is they want to do at all costs, thinking that it will be somebody else's cost that is going to occur, not our own. And that's where we are blinded. We truly are blinded. We don't understand. We affect each other. And I have yet to see anybody of any prowess, politically or socially, get up and talk about this, that what you do, you know, in your own personal life is going to affect not only the people around you, but the people you will never meet, the people that depend upon their business and want to make a living at whatever it is they do, and now they're being closed down. And what are we going to do with all these people? And how are we going to feed them? Yada, 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 yada. It's the domino effect, but nobody seems to be able to see it because we're too selfish and animalistic, instinctive. The instinctive person is going to be selfish. It's just the way it works. It isn't that they're bad or evil. They're instinctive, and they're going to run off of instinct. And the moment that they get told that they have to wear a mask or that they have to distance themselves or they should be staying home, they freak out because they're afraid they're being told to do something that is going to make them a pawn, shall we say, to government or to politicians. Well, if you haven't already figured it out, which the American public can't, because they're not very bright, they're absolutely ingrained in the idea that their government is on their side, which it isn't. Our greatest enemy is our government. Thomas Jefferson talked about that over and over and over again, right after he wrote the Constitution and did all the beautiful things he tried to do. But we miss it because we're blinded by our instincts. And as long as I am living in my instinct, I am going to be missing the mark. I'm not going to be able to see what it is that my behavior is going to do to you. And I've got to care about you. I've got to care about everyone, because caring about everyone is also caring about myself and my own well-being. It all comes back down to me. Everything I send out comes back to me one way or another. This kind of common sense just doesn't really work with the American public. They politicize everything. So it is very, very difficult. Raymond, it really is. And you live in Florida, you should know. Your state is like California, just crazy. Any sunshine state usually is like this, but you got to know that what you guys do in Florida, what we do in California, is going to affect the people in Oregon, or it's going to affect people in Montana, or it's going to affect people in, Seattle, and it goes all over the world. It has an effect. So just because we can't connect the dots, which we refuse to do due to the instinct of wanting to stay alive and sustain ourselves, we cause our own problems. So answering your question, how do we get people to do what is right? It's like herding cats. I sit here oftentimes in the morning after my meditations, and I realize the futility of being human. And until we realize the futility of our human nature, the futility of trying to govern it through fear and hate, the idea of thinking that human nature is the totality of our being, in other words, that's all we are, The absence of love has created a great deal of difficulty in this world. It's just merely the absence of love. We have not been kind. We have not been compassionate. We have not been loving. We scoff at it. We make fun of it. As a populace, it's never brought up in discussions or with any sort of intelligence. And so this goes on and on and on in our life and makes us very ugly people. Fear has taken over. And fear is rational only to itself. It is irrational when it comes to something bigger than, shall we say, itself, like love. So because fear is rational only to itself and is logical only to its means, we are going to continue to suffer. And it's going to be interesting to watch the country, the nation, the people change. And we're all going to have to change one way or another. I don't see that happening very quickly, but we're all going to have to change one way or another and come into this lifetime with something better than what we did here recently and in the last 6 months. So I don't know. I don't know. How do you get people to do the right thing? Yeah. It's all a matter of preference and bias and ugly things that live in our instincts, primitive things that have been there for thousands of years in human beings, and it just isn't going to change. So, we were born in interesting times, as the Chinese say. Not a very good answer, huh, Raymond? Probably it doesn't satisfy your intellectual capacity, but or its curiosity, but there you are. It's my answer. Forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Thomas. He says he lives in, where is Michigan? Michigan. That's a long ways away. Why do people not see that we affect each other and this could all be done away with if we were to do what the medical professions tell us to do? Wear a mask, blah, blah, blah. And he goes into, you know, detail as to what you've all heard it, so I don't need to reread it. Well, nobody tells an American what to do. Nobody. Because we're king of the hill. We're home of the brave and land of the free, or land of the free and home of the brave. I don't know what we are. We're a joke. And we're the biggest problem on the earth. And it just goes to show you and shows to go you, Thomas, that you can't give people freedom. We don't have freedom. I don't know where human beings or Americans get this idea they're free. Most of us are choking on the taxes we have to pay. There are so many laws and ordinances and things we have to do because we have no common sense. We don't love one another. We aren't considerate of one another. We don't care much about one another. We just want to be able to do what we want to be able to do. Our self-righteousness has merged with our self-preservation and has created the human being you see today. That's what's going on. Self-righteousness merging with the whole idea of being in self-preservation, and the two coming together has formulated a mind that is reckless, ambitious, fearful, angry, hostile, aggressive. That's the psychology of it. And believe it or not, this worked really well in dinosaur days, in the beginnings of humankind here on Earth. It was the way we survived. You had to be tough. You had to be hard. You had to be ruthless. So when this little gene inside of us, this DNA, this little trip lever in our bodies emits the chemicals of testosterone in men and estrogen in women, and there's all sorts of other chemicals that come together, we start formulating in our minds ideas and ideals about what is right and wrong, about who is good and who is bad. We never are looking at the bigger picture. How can we how can we get people not to see the effects they have on each other? We don't want to, because every person you will meet thinks they know everything they know that will make them better than you and me. We live in this accumulated arrogance that we have come to live in and by and for, and we never see what's really happening to our lives via this arrogance. We just don't care. So, putting it very mildly and trying to keep this as simple a process as I can, because we are subjected to the chemicals in our bodies, and because we live according to the chemicals of our bodies, and how they unite with other chemicals in our body and create in our body a chemical flow of saturating our mind with all sorts of toxins and even the demographics, shall we say, of disease, we make for ourselves a very hard life. Most of what we do to survive is all about destroying ourselves. We're very self-destructive people. There's no kindness, nothing. There's no compassion. There's no forgiveness. These are not elements that are pillars of our temple here on earth. These are considered weak things. Of course, we'll go to church every Sunday and praise the Lord who did all these things, but we won't live them because that's for Sunday between this hour and this hour. And it's something that we can say we believe in, but never live up to. And so we just go on and on and on with our ridiculous mischief and keep it going until it kills us all. And, you know, what are you going to do? We're in a very, very tough place. And the only people that really don't seem to be able to deal with this pandemic are the people who think they're free. The Chinese are doing much better than we are. Europe's doing better than we are. Canada's doing better than we are. And look what we're doing. Look at us. Look at the way we are. We're not doing so well. We don't do anything very well. So there's the issue. There's the problem. We miss everything that matters because we're so busy trying to be in self-preservation and self-righteous at the same time. That's a heavy, heady disease. And it doesn't make us healthy. It doesn't make us better. It doesn't bring us peace on earth. It never has. This is why Jesus said there will always be wars and rumors of wars. There always will be. We don't learn. We refuse to learn. We put our ego ahead of our common sense. Now, with that being said, and I know that doesn't give you any hope, hope is not enough. I hope you can see that. It will not be enough to have hope in this world that things change. What did Gandhi say? You and I must be the change we wish to see in this world. How many people do you know that will cross the line of their political beliefs, their religious beliefs, their philosophical ideals, and cross the line to something where we could be that which we want to see in the world? Kindness, love, peace, harmony. What would you have to sacrifice for any of that or all of that? Now, you know deep inside, Thomas, whether or not you're willing to sacrifice whatever it is that sustains your position as a person, your bias, your human bias, hint, hint, if you're willing to sacrifice all that, would you be willing to give up your opinion and opinions about right and wrong, good and bad, who is, who ain't? What would you be willing to give up? That's the real question here that nobody's asking. And you don't ask sacrifice of people who are suffering because they're already suffering enough. So it's not a popular political ploy. We didn't have to wind up here the way we are. We didn't have to. But we did because this is who we are. We are experiencing humankind. And it isn't pleasant, it isn't pretty, and it doesn't do much but make us suffer more and more and more. There you are. Thomas, I'm not the bestower of great news, but it is true what I just said. And it's going to be really interesting to watch the reset button here on Earth, and that's what we're coming to. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Todd, and he does not tell me where he lives. Can we, in our current state, return to kindness, Todd? First of all, I'm very interested that you use the word kindness, Todd. I'm deeply moved by that. I really am. It's an interesting statement that you make. Yes, we can return. We can. As a populace, generally speaking, no. No. The majority of people, for any prolonged period of time, could not take kindness because, like I say, we live instinctually. We live by our Paleolithic mentality. So, no. But can there be you and me and others like us do this, and will it be something that catches on to the majority? I highly doubt it, but we can do this. We can. We can do this beautiful thing called love, and any one of us can go from being cruel and unkind to kind and loving. Any one of us can at any given time. Yes. It can happen. What will be the benefits? I have no idea. I really don't. It has to do with karma and your karma and my karma, and everybody's different in that kind of karma. So it just depends on what the state of my karma is and what it is I have to make restitution for. So here is my closing thought on that with you. And I really thank you. I kept your question last because it is truly unique. You and I have to make restitution now in our life for the things we've done and been. We have to go way out of our way to make that restitution. Forgiving, generous, kind. We must ask for forgiveness. We must be forgiveness. We must be generous in the beauty of our heart and sustain the beauty of that heart through everything that we do, everything that we work with, everything that we offer, with every breath we take to make some sort of restitution for our life. Now, if you are willing to do that, and that can be something like taking an order for a neighbor who maybe is elderly and can't get out and is afraid to get out and get groceries and help them get groceries. It could be a lot of different things that you can do. And when you do these things, they matter. And it's deeply moving to me that you, maybe as a stranger, would go out of your way to help someone who needs the love and kindness that maybe only you can afford to give. That would be very meaningful. Yes, you can turn it around. We can go into love at any moment in our life. And that's one of the beauties of the whole thing. Nothing is keeping us from love. Nothing. We can go to love in this instant and awaken. Thank you for your beautiful question, Todd. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. Got more tomorrow. Lots more. Please forgive me and thank you for listening. Namaste.